Diana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
When you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A little more light snow for tonight with lows in the mid-20s. We've got an area of low pressure and a subsequent front. It's going to keep us around 32 on Saturday afternoon with off and on snow showers likely. Dealing with that tomorrow night and gradually just a slight chance of snow, 30% to be exact, on Sunday to round out the weekend with a high of 33 and then increased sunshine early next week.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. Rats, it's snowing again. And this one could be a dandy. What do they say, in 2 to 7 inches in the higher elevations? God only knows what that means for my drive home. Probably just another one of those two-hour affairs, or hour and a half, whatever. It's the 11th day of March. And, okay, March came in like a lion. We're all convinced. The lion can sleep tonight. A wingle whip or weemle whop or whatever. Welcome to Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, as usual. It's Friday night. A two-day break in which I will sit around twiddling my thumbs and wondering what I'm going to do until Monday. I'd like to start with something funny. I really would. But instead, I think, at least for some of you, I'm going to go ahead and make you mad. To the extent that I once lived in Hotlanta, beautiful city that it is, the Phoenix City having risen from Sherman's ashes. And what happened there today, the tragedy? Absolutely. You get up, you're going to work, you go to work in the courthouse building, and this isn't supposed to happen in America. But it did. And there are a number of people, you know, you've seen the pundits on TV. Oh, how could this possibly happen? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And now to our courtroom killer expert, Fred Schmuckelberger in New York. And the talking heads prattle on and on. We take you live now to a news conference with the chief of police. Good afternoon. I'm the chief of police, and I have no information to tell you at this time. Well, sir, how many bullets were... I said I have no information to... Well, what are the names of the... I said I have no information. When Ted Turner came up with the idea of CNN, which the big networks at the time promptly dubbed Chicken Noodle News, some of us out there were really excited at the idea because we enjoyed the news. It went on the air in 1980. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary. Within a few short years, I myself would be working there. But with the proliferation of 24-hour news cycles, something has gone desperately wrong. What, the train wreck in California? Yeah, it's a tragedy. Is it news? The shooting in Atlanta today, tragedy. Is it news? It's certainly news for people in Atlanta. It happened there. It happened to their loved ones. The question is it news for the whole world? I would submit to you that a bomb blast in Iraq that wipes out 44 innocent human beings is news for the whole world, because the whole world deserves to see what a howling nightmare America is trying to turn the Middle East into. It is cumulative evidence of misery and death. But these things, that these isolated incidents in various and sundry American cities and in the country and what have you, is it national news? Now, draw a distinction between this and the murder of Judge Lefkoe's family in Chicago. That was news because, arguably, it had a greater radius because it encompassed ideas, at least initially, of right-wing hate. And the fact that we have, while we are sitting around shivering in our boots about brown-skinned people from 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 miles away who are sitting 6,000 miles away hating our guts, we have a real, honest-to-God, homegrown terrorism problem. Now, contrast that with what happened in Atlanta today. Is it news? A judge was gunned down in his own courtroom. Is it news? His court reporter was gunned down. A deputy was gunned down. Two other deputies were shot and wounded. Is it news? Is there? And what I'm asking you is there an element within that tragedy that makes it something more than a local story of local horror? Because something has been sort of beetling at the back of my head all day long, and I didn't realize until I came to the studio exactly what it was. As I read details of it, the guy who apparently was the shooter had taken from him homemade jailhouse knives, shivs, if you will. There's another word for them. I forget what they are. They were taken from him a week or so ago. And had he been able to use one, he might have cut someone. Okay? But, of course, this is, after all, a courthouse. It's a lockdown. It is an armed camp where, well, think about the courthouse. It's impenetrable. And this applies to most, if not all, courthouses in America today. They are impenetrable to an ordinary human being bearing a weapon. They're impenetrable to a criminal bearing one, either, for that matter. Metal detectors. There's a whole phalanx of deputies. To say the least, it is an armed compound. But a judge, a court reporter, and two deputies are dead of gunshot wounds. You have to ask why. If this story deserves the national attention that it is being given today, you have to ask why. And you start with the fact that no criminal carried a gun into that courthouse. That is where the debate begins. It is almost mathematically, scientifically impossible for a regular person to carry a gun into that courthouse or virtually any other. Or a bomb. Or a cheesecake, for that matter. Without being magnetometerized and metal detected and inspected and neglected and rejected. But again, a judge, a court reporter, and two deputies, or one, I'm not sure, are dead of gunshot wounds. The information is not fully fleshed out. Sorry for the pun. You have to ask why. Others are wounded. They hope to survive. You have to ask why it happened. I'm waiting. I know it's dawning on some of you. It's okay. I've got time. It may take a few seconds. You know the answer. For some of you, it is a very, very disturbing answer, and you don't like the answer you're getting. If you're still working on it, the question you need to ask is, whose gun killed these people? Come on. I can't hear you on the other end. You can say whose gun killed these people. I'll never tell. Whose gun killed these people? Whose high-capacity, semi-automatic handgun killed that judge, that court reporter, that deputy, and still had enough bullets left over to make the guy's escape more likely? Think it through very slowly. You know the answer. No citizens, no crooks, no terrorists. Nobody can take a gun into that building. It is by definition a building filled with people who are unarmed, except for the deputies who are running around the building armed to the teeth. Pepper spray, lasers, tasers, phasers, razors, clubs, and guns with high-capacity clips and death-dealing, hollow-point, flesh-ripping rounds. All of those in a building where there are no other armed people. Let it sink in for a little bit. Everyone in that building, except for the deputies, is unarmed. Come on, it's all right. You don't like what you're thinking, but what you're thinking is correct. Those deputies were armed for attacks on unarmed people. By definition, you cannot carry a weapon into these buildings, and yet the building is filled with people who have guns to use on unarmed people. And it was that weapon which was taken from one of these deputies which killed the judge, which killed the court reporter, the deputy, wounded others, and made his getaway possible. Now, this is America. This is the land of the free. Think about it. We have stopped the entry of weapons into our public buildings. It is virtually impossible. The law enforcement staff wear bulletproof vests. Okay? But they also carry guns. Assume for a moment that someone gets into the building who has a gun. It's the mathematics that Grant learned at what, Cold Harbor? I've got more people than they've got guns. One guy with a gun can be overpowered by 10 deputies. Okay? This would not have happened but for the presence of handguns inside the building that were given to people charged with using those handguns on unarmed civilians. Do you understand? Flip through your Bible. What does it say? As ye sow, so shall ye reap. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Oh, How tough are you? West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Up to $5,000 in prize money and Tough Man jackets to be awarded. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. No entry fee. Divisions for men and women. To sign up, you must be 18 or older, an area resident, no pro fights, and limited amateur experience. Just tough local guys and gals. If you think you're tough enough, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Tickets go on sale March 12th. Tough men, tough women, and ring girls, sign up now. Wimps need not apply.
There are three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax, tag, and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example, 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing with zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05. WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage. Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. If you want to jump in and get your 2 cents worth in, the bee out from your bonnet, the burr out from under your saddle, the number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Now, bear in mind, I don't think you can get around the inescapable logic of what I just explained. There's a reason those people were shot in Atlanta today, and it's not because that guy brought a gun to the courthouse. It's because the courthouse is full of guns, okay? It's full of guns. And sure, I know what the opposite argument is, and it doesn't carry any water with me. I mean, I can hear it now, that filthy, blood-soaked idiot Wayne LaPierre from the NRA out there going, "Guns don't kill people, people kill people." Well, people do kill people. People kill people with ball bats, razors, homemade knives from inside the jailhouse. But you know what? Those you kind of got to do people one at a time, and it's a little bit of a time-consuming, labor-intensive job. If, however, you get your hands on some Deputy Smith & Wesson 40 caliber 16 or 17 round weapon, plus the one that's already in the chamber, man, you can do some first-rate killing first-rate quick. So I'm sorry, the NRA carries no weight with me. But if it hasn't already happened, I give you until tomorrow before some mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, the IQ lower than that, than the temperature of ice water right-wing nut calls into Flush Flimball and says, "You know, Flush, my opinion is, and I defend the Second Amendment because it's the most important right we Americans have got. You know, Flush, my opinion is, that thing in Atlanta wouldn't never have happened if everybody could carry a gun to the courthouse." Do you remember what happened after Columbine? Do you remember what happened after the Long Island subway shooting? Well, we need more people carrying guns, because if there's more people carrying guns, there's more people can shoot them. If there's more people can shoot them, there's more people going to get killed, and that includes the criminals. I give you no less than 48 hours, or no more than 48 hours, before some idiot shows up on right-wing hate radio saying, "We need to get rid of these here metal detectors in the courthouse, and everybody in the courtroom needs to have a gun." Can you imagine if there had been two or three guns in that courtroom this morning? he shoots once. And all the amateur gun carriers, you know, the macho gun glamour culture types haul out their, you know, their Desert Eagle 50 caliber dual mud flaps, Hemi whatever gun, and, you know, there'd be 60 people dead instead of 3. The answer is not more guns in our public culture. The answer is less guns in our public culture. That was a law enforcement officer's gun, and law enforcement officers are dead by it. But again, it won't be long before you hear somebody say, "We need more guns on the street. And I don't want no gun registration." Of course, we touched on this a couple of nights ago, but it is worth remembering that the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, says that, listen carefully, your federal government officials approved 47 of 58 applications from terror suspects. You know, the brown people, terror suspects, to purchase or carry guns just during a 9-month period last year. The gun buyers were positive matches to an FBI watch list of thousands of people. Many of those people, they were constantly watched by the FBI. And they were given the right to purchase and carry guns. And, of course, that's a function, again, of that bloodthirsty idiot Wayne LaPierre, who, when he yells froggy at the White House, George Bush paints himself green and starts hopping. Then again, you also got to remember that back after 9/11, John Ashcroft dumped a jug of Crisco over his head and ran out and blocked the FBI from matching gun buying records against lists of terror suspects. That was only changed last year. So, Answer the question for yourself. Who done it? Republicans done it. What kind of state is Georgia? Georgia is an absolutely rabid, gun-crazy state that is ruled by a bunch of bloodthirsty Republicans. Who makes us less safe? Never mind what was said on the campaign trail before November. Who makes us less safe? Who tells the FBI they can't keep an eye on the terrorist? Who tells the FBI that the background checks have to be destroyed within 24 hours of the gun purchase so that they can't keep track of, oh, I don't know, the people you hate? The foreigners who buy the guns in this country? Who does that? Republicans do that. Figure it out. The rubber mask is finally off, and we can see these people for the nasty, hate-filled, racist, killer, bloodthirsty punks that they are. Okay. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Congress has approved a $284 billion highway and transit bill with money earmarked for projects in Raleigh County and southern West Virginia. Congressman Ray Hall tacked on $5 million for construction of the East Beckley Bypass and finding a solution to the traffic problems in Beaver and Shady Springs. Other West Virginia projects funded by the bill include the Coalfields Expressway, King Coal Highway, New River Parkway, and the Beckley Intermodal Gateway. The bill would fund transportation projects across the country for 5 years, and it passed the House by a vote of 417-9. It now goes to the Senate, where there is pressure to add more funding. Meanwhile, state and local officials met in Charleston yesterday to discuss solutions to those traffic problems in Beaver and Shady Springs. Members of the Appalachian Regional Commission and the Rahal Appalachian Transportation Institute met with Highways Commissioner Paul Maddox to discuss a proposed connector road to alleviate traffic on 19 and West Virginia Route 1. Associate Director Richard Begley said the project would not only address traffic safety issues, but create new jobs by opening up access to the Raleigh County Memorial Airport and Industrial Park. The new West Virginia Employers Mutual Insurance Company has officially incorporated with the Secretary of State's office, the private for-profit company that will become the sole provider of workers' compensation insurance to state workers next year, has also named its officers. State Superintendent David Stewart has lifted a freeze placed on construction for a consolidated high school in Mingo County. The move now clears the way for Maynard Smith Construction to start preliminary work on the controversial project. Company President John Strickland said today he hopes to have a budget ready within 40 days. Not a very nice weekend, beginning with this evening and tonight. Snow and rain showers. It turns to all snow showers and gets colder tonight, mid-20s. Saturday, snow showers likely. Could be an inch or more and colder with a high near 30. Snow showers Saturday night, low 18. And then for Sunday, a chance of lingering snow showers on Sunday morning. Rest of the day after that, partly cloudy and cold, with temperatures in the mid-30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. The AFL-CIO is hailing a victory on an attempt by Walmart and other corporations to keep truckers working up to 16 hours in a day. A congressional amendment allowing those work hours has been withdrawn. Michael Buckley, communications director for the AFL-CIO's Transportation Trades Department, says 16-hour days would be bad for truckers and potentially bad for traffic safety.
I think it's a great victory for workers and labor unions and highway safety advocates. What Walmart wanted to do was to extend the length of truck drivers' days to as much as 16 hours, which is really unconscionable from a worker's standpoint. We're fighting hard to hang on to the 8-hour day. We certainly don't want to make it a 16-hour day.
The proposal has been withdrawn for the moment, but Buckley says labor has to be vigilant to corporate efforts to eventually sneak this back into other legislation.
The victory is always short-lived in that we think it increases the chances that Walmart and others will try to do this in a quiet, middle-of-the-night way that maybe doesn't require a public vote, or get as much attention.
Buckley says with studies showing fatigue can reach dangerous levels after just 8 hours on the road, this labor victory stopping the 16-hour workday for truckers sought by corporations is good for workers and for drivers who share the road with truckers.
Employees at a hotel in Iraq concluded a successful strike on Sunday, according to the Iraqi Federation of Workers Trade Unions, or IFTU. Workers went on strike at the prestigious Palestine Hotel in Baghdad in order to get a wage increase. Late last year, workers staged another strike, organized by the IFTU, which resulted in the reinstatement of 27 employees who had been dismissed by management. Another result of last year's dispute was the formation of union committees at the Palestine and other major hotels in Iraq. The Palestine Hotel is a popular place to stay for many foreign journalists and was the site of the April 2003 killing of two journalists by U.S. forces.
Huge clothing and textile import increases from China are underway, threatening thousands of jobs in the U.S. and Canada. Import caps on textiles that had been in place have been lifted, and China is now expected to flood the U.S. with cheap clothing, capturing about 70% of the U.S. market. Chinese textile exports to the U.S. jumped more than 65% in January. Here's today's Dow Bob report. Democrats want to raise the minimum wage by $2.10 over the next 26 months, effective affecting 7.3 million workers, but they don't have the votes in the U.S. Senate to do it. By contrast, the Republican plan would raise it $1.10 over 2 years. The last minimum wage increase from $4.25 to $5.15 in 1996 raised the wages of 9.9 million workers, or 8.9% of the workforce, according to the Economic Policy Institute. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right.
Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. A brief respite in the snow so far. I have no faith that the respite will continue. The recriminations in the shooting have already begun. This from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Fulton Sheriff Sergeant Mike Thompson and other officials said Nichols, the suspect, Brian Nichols, 33 years old, 6 feet 1, 210 pounds, took a gun from Deputy Cynthia Hall, who was alone with the 6 foot 1-inch Nichols. She had just unhandcuffed his hands to let him change out of his jail uniform into street clothes for court. After a struggle, Nichols allegedly shot her in the head, wounding her. Now, you know where this one goes. The next thing you're going to hear is, well, you know, and you'll hear it from the right, okay? Well, this just proves that women, there's just some jobs in the world that women can't do, and women shouldn't be in no law enforcement. And what in the world was she doing with a big old feller like that? Well, the big old feller was in handcuffs. But again, assume for a moment that she does not carry a handgun inside that facility. Fine. He struggles with her. He knocks her down. He runs away. He is running away unarmed. At best, he maybe takes her taser, or her phaser, or her laser, or her razor, or her billy club, or her great big flashlight, or her pepper spray. He does not take a handgun, a semi-automatic handgun with a 16-round capacity clip. At worst, he takes her hostage and marches into the courtroom and demands an airplane to fly him to, wherever. And a whole bunch of deputies come and overpower him. So there, but you know, I mean, you know, I'm as right as rain. You know this is going to happen. Them women, what was that woman doing escorting that prisoner? Mm-mm, wrong. What was any human being doing escorting that prisoner with a gun? Remember, a gun is primarily an offensive weapon, not a defensive one. Remember, most shootings take place in what? Within a distance of what? Less than 6 feet? Yeah. There is one way to stop this stuff. You know, you can't stop registered Republican right-wing extremist Timothy McVeigh when he drives the truck full of explosives up by the Murrah Federal Building. That's a different critter. But once you're inside a designated no-arms zone, that gun is a lot less help than it is hindrance. Think about it. I think you'll see I'm right. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on. Is there anything faulty in that analysis, Chris? Are you certain of this? Okay. Okay, so you speak with some degree of authority. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. I understand. Mm-hmm. Sure. No. That's how you have prison uprisings. Well, I guarantee you, Chris, I am one of a very few human beings this evening who are saying the fact that these people were armed for the purpose of shooting unarmed individuals that you'll hear. You're not going to, you know, God knows you're not going to hear it from the Savage Wiener or Flush or Hannity or Ollie North or Liddy or, you know, any of those cretins. Yeah.
But I was on jury duty twice before, and it's been years ago. And I came in there, you know, to be go through the grilling to be picked or not picked. And there was a trial going on, and I got there early, so I got to see part of this trial. They bring the man in accused of murder, and they sit him down. And the bailiff is an ex-football player from the university here. And both the lawyers and a couple of the guys go over and start talking to the bailiff. Yeah, man, hey, you know, yeah, you're a sports guy. We really like you, yeah. And meanwhile, behind their backs is a guy accused of murder.
Yep.
And that's before the courts in Florence, Alabama had metal detectors.
Sure.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know what? I could have a gun on me right now. Anybody in here could have one. There was no, you didn't get patted down, you didn't get searched, you didn't go through a metal detector or anything. And I wondered about that. I thought, man, this is crazy. And I asked one of the officers after my week of jury duty about it, and he said, well, this ain't never,
thought about none of that, at all.
Yeah. And so a few years later, I saw a judge that I know, sort of a friend of mine, and I asked him, I said, you know, I told him when I was on jury duty, I said, you know, you've got metal detectors there. And I said, but back then, I said, there wasn't anything, any kind of protection for you or anybody. He said, yeah, back then all I had was my right foot. You know, I guess a panic button.
Right.
That he could hit. And now they have, you know, the metal detectors and everything.
Well, you know, I think the genesis of metal detectors in West Virginia, Chris, I think it, either Mingo or McDowell or Logan County, not sure where, there was a trial. Oh, maybe 86, 87 or so, and some crazed guy exercising his Second Amendment right got himself a handgun and carried it into a courtroom and shot the lawyer.
Yeah.
And the only thing that saved the lawyer was a really thick book on evidence. Yeah, if you want, yeah, irony.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the bullet stopped about halfway through it and didn't touch him, if I recall correctly. You know, we've taken a lot for granted in this country. But again, if I have no problem with magnetometers, I have no problem with metal detectors, I have no problem with armed people at the front door. But you know, once you're into the catacombs of the courthouse, no one should be armed, because
I absolutely agree.
You know, how many Americans get killed every year who are, you know, good old Second Amendment, you know, God-fearing, gun-owning people, and the criminal takes the gun from them and uses it on them.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I'm a gun owner, so, you know, I'm not criticizing that end of it, but it's disturbing to think that we've got a court system that arms people inside the building to shoot at unarmed people. And this is what you get out of that mindset.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. You get no argument with me. I've always thought it was kind of strange, you know.
And you know, well, I don't know what they carry down there.
They carry the it was the revolvers, but I think they're all carrying Glocks now.
Well, up here, unless things have changed, for years and years, the state police carried Model 19 357 Magnum Smith & Wesson, six round wheel gun, and they convinced themselves and the state government or whoever needed to write the check that it wasn't fair anymore, and they needed these, you know, 15 or 16 round capacity 40 caliber Smith & Wesson semi-autos. And it sounds to me like one of these high capacity semi-autos was what was used in Atlanta today.
Well, if any, I'm sure you have some veterans in your listening audience, and they can tell you what that kind of a bullet could do to a human body at close range. I've seen it.
Absolutely.
And I tell you, it is not pretty. Another thing I wanted to touch on is about a story that I sent to you and I wrote about, is the just total, you know, admittance that there are children at every grade. And they talked about the 12-year-old boy who was there.
But looked more like
uncontrollably.
Yeah, but looked more like he was 8.
Yeah, but looked more like he was 8. Now, are they carrying weapons at every grade?
Sure they are.
Well, you noticed the photos of the people.
Well, wait a minute. You may be right.
You noticed the photos of the people that were accused of torturing them. Every single photo of Abu Ghraib in Guantanamo that I've seen, not one of those guards has a gun. Now, the ones outside patrolling do.
That's true.
And when they're outside, but all the pictures of the torture or whatever, I didn't see one with guns.
I think you're correct.
Maybe they don't want the terrorists to grab hold of a gun.
Yeah, or the criminals. Yeah. But meanwhile, your point is well taken. We've got little children in Abu Ghraib. And that's not some sort of, that's not from the liberal media. Those are government documents that were turned over in the last day or so.
And that unbelievable quote, "I don't care, we've got 15,000 innocent civilians, we're winning the war on terror."
Maybe in the short run.
No, we're breeding it.
Yeah, of course we are. I mean, this is terrorism breeding faster than sea monkeys. I mean,
what kind of a union do the police officers have if they set their members of their union up to be shot? They say, we as a union, we agree that you guys ought to carry guns in the courthouse.
Well,
they would even consider rethinking that by now?
I don't think they will, because this is an entrenched gun culture, Chris. Nobody is ever going to look at that gun and, because, again, what you're going to hear is that it just makes me run around the room. Guns don't.
Taser is all you need.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
One of those tasers is all you need.
And those things are lethal.
Buddy, I know. I told you a story when you and I talked off the air about I used to catch shoplifters when I worked for Walmart, and I saw plenty of shoplifters or whatever get tasered.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what, that's the last thing in the world I want.
Right, and we're really thrilled now because it was just announced in the last couple of days the Charleston Police Department in the state capitol here. Whoopee, they've got tasers. Wonder how long before somebody dies from one of those. Those things are kind of like the defibrillator paddles in reverse. They will stop your heart.
Yeah, but look at it this way, though. Like you said, if he'd have just knocked her around and got her taser instead of a gun,
mm-hmm.
there'd be three people that may have stopped her heart and it may not have.
Yeah. Most likely, there would be
a guy with a taser. You can't outrun a bullet.
You're absolutely right. Hey, Chris, we got to roll, man. Thanks so much, though. I'm glad it doesn't sound like I'm speaking Martian. You know.
No, Bob, I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you, and you're speaking the truth. And hey, if someone doesn't agree, that's their right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Have a great weekend. And Jim, hey Jim, you're head on. Jim.
You caught me unaware.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I understand you were discussing this mishap in Atlanta.
This nightmare, whatever you want to call it. It's just tragic.
Obviously, security wasn't what it should be, and they should have had that man shackled. And
no, he was.
Well, they were changing him. Apparently,
they took the handcuffs off long enough for him to change into street clothes to go into his
grabbed the gun.
Right.
And then he went straight for his honor and the court reporter and the deputy.
Right. Well, the woman he took the gun from, he shot in the head. Then he went into the courtroom, held everybody at bay, plugged the judge, plugged the court reporter, made it outside, killed another deputy, and made his escape. And I'm sorry, I believe that if those deputies had not had handguns, none of this would have happened. And they don't need handguns inside the courtroom.
Well, they had one guy comment saying that there was not enough security there, period. And they said that 60% of the courts in the land didn't have any type of security really whatsoever. I don't know. I was just watching Anderson Cooper on 360.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the comments of one of the men who worked there in that facility in the judicial tower in Atlanta, and also they had the foreman of the jury of the previous when he was tried previously.
Mm-hmm.
So this is his second go around.
Right, hung jury the first time through. Yeah.
Well, that's quite an interesting thing to happen. That's for sure.
Well, if you step back and look at it, you can't think about it, Jim. You can't bring a gun into the building. An ordinary citizen cannot bring a gun into the building. External law enforcement are not allowed to bring a gun into the building. No one is allowed to bring a gun into the building. The only people in the building who have guns are the deputies, and it was a deputy's gun that did all this damage.
I noticed Nancy Grace was doing all for calls this afternoon. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Yeah, I don't think much of her, but yeah.
Well, to tell you the truth, I thought to myself, why couldn't she have been?
Nah, stop it.
But honestly and truly, that has got to be the most vindictive woman I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, she tries, convicts, and executes every single criminal defendant she talks about.
What is the bee in her bonnet?
Well, the fact of the matter is,
her fiance was slain by a gunman or something.
I'm not sure, but it is worth noting that she has been sanctioned in the past for judicial misconduct and fudging up subpoenas and things like that.
When she was a district attorney?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank you for that information. That will be very handy because I know someone who always thinks the sun just rises and sets in that woman.
Go and Google up Nancy Grace and subpoena. You'll find it. It might even be on Bart Cop today. That may be where I saw it. BartCop.com. Because he doesn't like her either.
Well, that's the tragic thing that happened there, that's for sure.
But, well, we've got a macho gun culture, Jim, and that's all there is to it. You know what I mean? I mean, we think every problem can be solved by a gun, whether it's Iraq or you know, downtown somewhere.
Well, I think Bush's refusal to renew the assault weapons ban.
Sure.
Sends a certain message.
Well, you know, and again, look at John Ashcroft there, right after 9/11, moved to block the FBI from matching gun buying records against the list of terror suspects, said it was a violation of the Second Amendment. And they have the nerve to tell us that they're keeping us safe? Well, take a pass.
Well, let me ask you one other thing. Speaking of, since we're in the ATF mood, let's go to alcohol.
Yeah.
What is this about? They're trying now, if a person is convicted for a DUI, that they are trying to put them in some kind of database so they can't buy any kind of spirits?
That's the bill that's moving through the House, yeah. If you've been convicted of DUI, you can no longer purchase alcohol.
So they're basically trying to reinstitute prohibition.
In many ways, or, you know, I call it welcome to the nanny state. Because you got to remember we've moved DUI down to 0.08 now, Jim.
Lord, I wouldn't even have mouthwash to go out and get in the car now.
Right, I mean you can a little old lady can have a glass of wine at dinner and be drunker than Adam's off ox for legal purposes, and get dinged.
That's the craziest damn thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, you know this that's the kind of law you get in a fascist state. There's a lot of fascism that is nannyism, Jim. You know, liberals are accused of being the nannies, but there's a whole lot more nanny law coming out of this administration than whole hosts of Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter.
By nanny, you mean just nitpicking stuff?
Well, the nanny state, the state that's going to look over your shoulder, the state that knows what's better for you better than you know what's good for you.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I went through a DUI in 74 in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
And they didn't even give me a phone call. And they told me to pull up a stale commode seat for a pillow and get some concrete around me for a blanket.
Oh, God, you got to love the old South.
I'm telling you. Anyway, and so when I finally got out of that cell the next morning, my coattail did not hit my getting out of there. But I walked for 6 months. It was Pat and Charlie in the Shoe Leather Express.
Right.
And it made a believer out of me.
Sure.
But, you know, I hadn't had but two drinks.
Yeah, well, that's enough, just to wham. That's the thing that most people don't understand about our DUI laws is that while they look like they're really, really specific, you know, if you're not .0 whatever or .1 whatever, that, you know, you're not guilty, wrong. You can be charged on the whim of the officer.
Oh, yeah. And not to mention that it's the biggest racket in the world because it makes money for all of them.
Well, sure it does. And who loves it better than anybody else? The insurance companies.
Oh, Lord. SR-20. Is it still called SR-22?
I'm not sure.
Well, I think they have their emphasis on the wrong syllable when a federal judge is blown out, he gets blown away. And, you know, I don't know what law enforcement's coming to in this country. And not to mention the two mafia cops. You heard about them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again,
two wonderful good fellows.
Yeah, again, we've got fundamental problems in this country, but no one wants to really address what the problems are. And we have a gun culture, and that gun culture is a problem. Whether it's cops carrying guns or crooks carrying guns, or me and you carrying guns, we have a problem in the gun culture.
I agree with you. Definitely. We do. And, you know, there are just too many people out there who have them. They shouldn't.
Right. And if you ask the right wing, we don't have enough in people's hands yet.
But I'm going to ask you one more question. Now, if you have a history of psychiatric problems,
mm-hmm.
you're not supposed to be given a permit to carry a firearm or to even own one.
Technically, you're not even supposed to be sold one. That's correct.
Okay, because I remember back in 1996, a family went hunting, and all these people, I think it was two sons and a father, and they were all on psychotropic medications, okay?
Mm-hmm.
None of them came back. They got into an argument out in the field, and they had an okay corral scene out there.
Well, and it wasn't probably a year and a year ago that the woman who literally went to Walmart to buy her antipsychotic medication. I mean, it's not like she was taking a little Paxil here. I mean, she was taking the stuff to make the walls quit breathing. She went to Walmart.
I've never heard that.
You know, she went to Walmart's pharmacy to buy this stuff and turned around, got her medicine, walked back into the gun department, bought her a gun, and went and started dusting people.
Here?
In America. Yes. Not in West Virginia, but yeah, that happened. So, you know,
truth is definitely stranger than any kind of fiction you could ever write. My God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
She literally opened fire on people in the store.
In the store or right outside it. I'm pretty sure of it. I mean, I don't have it in front of me. I just remember it from being in the big stack a few months ago. I think maybe even Jim Hightower talked about it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I can remember it was nothing. You know, if somebody pulled something on the road on you, you know, flip them off.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that for anything in the world.
Well,
God knows, if it was my luck, if I did it, they'd have a RPG in there.
Jim, you've quoted from that wonderful, wonderful movie, The Lion in Winter, in the past. And there's a scene where Eleanor of Aquitaine walks in and I think maybe John says, "My God, they've got knives." And she said, "It's the 11th century. We all carry knives." You know, there's no difference. It's the 21st century. We all carry guns.
I know. And it's getting worse and worse and worse.
And I'm one of them.
Well, you know? Like your guns. I know that because you hunt, don't you?
Yeah. I kind of took a powder from it while the kids were growing up, but yeah, it'll soon be time to take them into the woods. And I don't think there's any harm in that.
Well, you know, that's.
But I also stand out at the range from time to time with that big, that big silhouette of the crook and try to pump rounds into his head. Yeah, I'm liberal, but I'm not crazy. Hey, Jim, we got to roll. We're at the top of the hour.
Out here.
Later. And more of your phone calls when we come back. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley is 800-620-9967. This is Head On, and me, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Diana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work,
the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
When you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A little more light snow for tonight with lows in the mid-20s. We've got an area of low pressure and a subsequent front. It's going to keep us around 32 on Saturday afternoon with off and on snow showers likely. Dealing with that tomorrow night and gradually just a slight chance of snow, 30% to be exact, on Sunday as we round out the weekend with a high of 33 and then increased sunshine early next week.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. I apologize for the moment of silence there. Huh. You know, did you hear the weather there? Yeah, we get sunshine next week. Well, yeah, ain't no sunshine when I drive. And don't quit your day job, Bob, with the singing. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. If you'd like to get in, a couple of lines open. Cherie is with us and has waited very patiently, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Cherie.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great.
I was calling about the incident in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I've worked in corrections.
Okay.
And, you know, if the cuffs were off long enough for him to change into street dress, it should have been done in the jail. And then he should have been shackled and then escorted over to the court.
Well, one of the things that I did hear this evening as I was driving in, Cherie, I was listening to National People's Radio, public radio, and they had a judge on there who was a good friend of the one who was killed today. And he said, as it turns out, there is a whole new judicial annex in there that has holding cells specifically designed. You know, they have bars, everything. You know, you stick your hands out, you're inside the bars, you stick your hands out, they unlock the stuff, and you change clothes.
Right.
This courtroom was the only one that was not within that annex. And he said the obvious lesson for him was that this courtroom would never be used for criminal proceedings ever, ever again.
Well, I think the one thing that disturbs me most is someone that's capable of doing this and is locked up, there are signs. There are things that you look for.
Yeah, like taking knives off the guy last week.
Behavior speaks a lot. And when you're shackling someone, you put their hands behind their back and you shackle their wrists, and then you do the lead and go down to their ankles and you shackle them.
Okay.
Now, you're going to disagree with me on this, I know, but as a female, mm-hmm. I can pretty well protect myself, but a man can overtake me.
I don't disagree with you at all.
And if I have a gun or anything, as soon as he starts moving, I'm going to let him have it. I'm not going to wait.
Well, I understand that, but will you concede that there is a possibility that this woman got shot in the head? And survived, apparently.
I wonder how well she survived.
Well, precisely. But I don't see it as a gender issue.
Well, more likely he grabbed her. He grabbed the gun, stuck it to her head, and shot. And
now they say he shot her in the face.
Oh.
But anyway, beyond that, Cherie, being female and him being 6'2 and 210 pounds and 33 years old, prime of life, it goes without saying that he could have overpowered her.
Exactly.
But if we get to the root of the matter, assume that she doesn't have a gun, he overpowers her, what's he do? He knocks her down, runs away, takes her taser, her pepper spray, whatever she's
right.
got. If there's no gun, she's not shot, the judge isn't shot, the court reporter isn't shot, the deputy's not shot outside the building.
Exactly.
And he doesn't have anything to threaten anyone with for the carjackings.
Precisely.
You know, look at how many shots were fired inside the building. And we don't know how many shots were fired, but it takes at least one. One for the deputy, one for the judge, one for the court reporter, okay? There was another person. There was another one killed outside the building. That's four. There was one other person wounded. That's five. Okay, you're down to one bullet in a wheel gun.
Right.
On the other hand, you're down to 10 rounds in these 40 caliber Smith & Wessons or Glocks or whatever that these people like to carry now. You're down to 10. Do you see the distinction?
Right, I do. Well, it's, as I said, there's a lot of things there that's disturbing. You know, why was she escorting him by herself?
Well, yeah, and again, those are questions that will be answered in the coming weeks and months. But I guarantee you, no one will think to question the fact that this does not happen. And again, you have to go back and consider that these people are carrying weapons for use on people who are by definition unarmed.
Right. I understand that. It's not a good thing.
Is that disturbing? That's the way we. You know, people come in and out of courtroom court buildings all the time. Not all, you know, some of them are jurors, some of them are coming to be witnesses at a trial. Some people are coming because they want to observe the trial.
Well,
none of them have guns.
The thing of it is you can go into one of those buildings with weapons that are not metal and do damage with.
Well, absolutely. You absolutely can. But
so there's numerous things that can happen there.
But to the best of my knowledge, unless this is something really high tech from a movie or something, to the best of my knowledge, there is no such thing as an entirely plastic or non-metallic handgun that is easily available in this country.
Not that I know of, no.
So, you know, assume that the guy gets somebody gets in with one of these ceramic bladed knives.
Right.
Okay? He's going to hurt one person.
Right.
All right? He's going to, and the fact of the matter is, you've got all these deputies, someone is going to overpower him. A firearm, a handgun in particular, is not a defensive weapon, it is an offensive weapon.
Right.
It's shoot first and ask questions later. And as a result, but when you consider that all of these people are unarmed coming into this building, it is hard to make a case for having guns for having guns in it. Because if you've got all these deputies, one guy goes crazy, 10 guys go crazy. You got enough pepper spray and tasers to take them down.
Oh, and a taser will shock the mortal pee out of you.
Sure. Am I missing something? Where is the scenario where handguns are required in this situation?
They've done that for years, for bailiffs to carry weapons.
Bingo. It is part of the macho gun culture. It has nothing to do with common sense.
Well,
Marshall Dillon carried him a gun, and I'm a marshal, too, and I'm going to carry me a gun because Marshall Dillon done did.
Well, the thing, too, here is it's not just about the gun. It's about everything that led up to the incident itself, and it doesn't seem like that security for their inmates.
Well, they're saying now that because this guy was big and strong, that she was supposed to have additional help. She didn't.
Exactly. And it's, as I said, his hands should have been cuffed behind his back.
Right.
It's kind of hard to take a gun away. Unless she's standing right beside of him to where he can pull it from the holster, and then what's he going to do? Shoot down. He's not going to shoot out.
Right. I understand all that. But
so there's so many things.
But in the final analysis, if everything breaks down, Cherie, if everything breaks down, she doesn't have enough help. There should have been another person. She was smaller than he was. He was able to overpower her. Yada, 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 yada. In the final analysis, assume that all of that happens. In the final analysis, if she's not carrying a gun, this doesn't happen.
I agree.
Now, this is not to say that I want to take guns away from law enforcement out on the street. I don't have any. No, 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 no. I don't believe that, you know, because as long as we've got gang members running around and people wild out of their minds on crystal meth, they have a right to defend themselves.
Well, and even, you know, in some federal court cases, armed guards are a good thing.
Well, certainly. Going into the building.
Well, going into the building and outside the courtroom.
Okay.
But when you're in a courtroom and, you know, not only this fellow's going in, but you have an entire courtroom full of people.
I heard one reporter today say there were about, 16, 17 people in the room.
So he goes psycho and starts taking people out left and right.
Right.
And now he's loose. And wonder how his fiance feels right now.
Oh, the one that got duct taped and brutally raped for 3 days on end?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, yeah. this is no. I'm not going to say a kind word about this guy. There's nothing good you can say about him.
No, they need to fry him.
Well, you know this guy is never going to go to trial. He's going to be dead the minute they see him.
No, he'll go to trial.
No, you don't kill a cop and live to tell about it.
He'll go to trial and he'll be made an example of. If they can possibly bring
Georgia's a death penalty. Georgia's a death penalty state. They're up to their necks in examples of black people. Now, this guy, the minute they see him, he is dead.
Bob, I don't think it's about him being black.
No, I don't either. But
it's
about
him being a psycho.
Well, sure it is. But, I mean, what I'm telling you, we're talking about the Deep South, Sheree, all right?
You think they'll just see him and shoot on contact?
You're darn right.
Okay. It's not about the judge. It's about the police officer.
Exactly.
Right.
He could have killed 6 dozen judges. They would have got him, caught him, roughed him, cuffed him, printed him, picked him, jailed him, and tried him and executed him. He killed a cop. This guy is walking dead.
Well, let's just hope that for all that was injured in that bills that have been passed and things that have been done, that these people will be able to exist. Because more than likely, they're not going to go back to work.
Oh, the number of lives that were wrecked today extend past the number of people who were killed.
Oh, yes.
See, I watched this thing the minute I just happened to be watching CNN, and the minute that the thing came up, they had a live video feed from their affiliate CNN did, and I saw a female deputy who had her head in her hands, and she was weeping and she was being consoled by another deputy, and I can't explain, I mean, maybe it's magic or whatever, but I knew what happened right then and there. I knew that he had gotten a female deputy's gun and killed somebody. I knew. There was something about it. I'm not claiming special powers or anything,
No, but fine.
But when I saw that woman weeping in uniform, standing outside the building, something inside my head went, boop. I can't explain it.
Well, I don't believe that a female should be escorting a male prisoner by herself.
I personally don't believe that any prisoner should be escorted by a lone officer.
Well, I just...
For the safety of everyone in that building, every prisoner should be escorted by at least two people.
I agree.
I don't like the idea of lone cops driving around in cars. I'm all Adam 12 about that. I want the one guy behind the wheel and his partner in the vehicle.
The buddy system is a good thing.
Yeah, it's great for swimming, rock climbing, and being a cop.
Exactly.
And it was a terrible mistake to send this woman alone with this guy. But again, no gun, no death.
Well, I just hope, I pray for those families.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think we all do. And I think for the sake of those grieving families, they deserve to have more than just a cursory examination of the situation where we blame the woman for being a woman or the system for not sending two people, when the very final answer in this analysis is if there was not a gun in a gunless building, if there had been no other guns, if the building had been entirely gunless, not just the general population, but the law enforcement as well, if the building had been entirely gunless, this would not have happened.
Well, I don't blame her for being a woman.
No. I don't say you do.
I do blame for a breach in protocol, and I believe that's what happened.
Well, like I said, within the next 48 hours, some idiot monkey out here will be saying, we ought to let everybody carry a gun to the courthouse.
No, I don't think so. There's actually a law on the books that as long as you have a weapon and it is in plain sight, you can wear a sidearm down the street.
Sure you can. Well, yeah, that's the law in West Virginia.
Yes.
I mean, I can grab a double-barreled side-by-side 12-gauge shotgun, toss it over my shoulder, and walk around downtown Beckley, and not a blessed soul can say a word to me about it.
Well, there's always Krusty the Clown on the bell tower. And there's a few of them out there that could qualify as that. And I'm going to leave you on that note, Bob.
Okay, thanks so much, Cherie. Take care.
Have a good evening.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye. Again, there will be no analysis of this issue. And I guess I'm some sort of, you know, bleeding heart liberal, anti-gun person. I'm not anti-gun. I'm up to my neck in guns. I like guns. Guns are fun to shoot. I like to hunt. I prefer bird hunting over deer hunting, frankly. But so what? There are situations where guns are more trouble than they are safety. This is one of them. And I don't like the fundamental philosophy behind having an unarmed building and a bunch of armed agents of the state who are armed for the sole purpose of shooting people who don't have weapons. I know that may sound a little bit crazy to you, but honest to God, that's how I feel. And if take a run at it. Is there a flaw in my analysis? I don't know. Stand by. I'm going to see if I can. We got some stuff going on. John's busy. I'm going to see if I can get to the phones. Hold on. Okay, you're head on. Who is it?
Yeah, Bob, this is Kimmel Sipilovic. I guess I talked to you a long time ago.
Yes, indeed. I have not heard from you in a long time, sir.
You took the whole Bill place.
Yes, yes.
Anyhow, I don't want to talk about Atlanta. I know it's stupid. It's ridiculous, and I just about agree with you on all the subject and all that stuff. But I really want to talk about the Middle East.
Yes.
And you know how the Bush easing up on Iran right now? It's a front.
Sure.
And a so-called PR, you know, with Sharon and all the settlement to get away from it and get ready to move in the Baca Valley as soon as the Syrians move out into Lebanon.
I have no doubt whatsoever.
And it's all game. That's all it is. They're going to get rid of the bunch of settlement. They're going to get in there. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And, recognize the Palestine as a state and all 9 yards. But I don't think they're going to happen.
They don't want it.
No, they don't want it. They're not going to give up by 1 inch of the land to Palestinians. They're going to keep it under the thumb. They're just hoping to get rid of the Syrians out of the Baca Valley. So this way they're going to secure it. The Israeli are going to get in there. They're going to occupy Baca Valley and South Lebanon. They're never going to give up the Golan Heights to them.
Oh, no, no, no.
And I guarantee you, U.S. troops from Iraq and Israeli forces from the bottom, they're going to squash Syria to nothing.
Well,
Syria don't have anything. You know what bugs me, Bob? They're constantly talking about how Syria occupied the country for 30 years. They never did occupy the Lebanon. They've been invited in there to keep the peace, to keep Israeli from out of the Lebanon.
Well, there's no getting around the fact that their troops are there.
No,
but you are correct. They were invited. They have been invited since the end of the Civil War, and we forget how bloody Lebanon's Civil War was.
Maybe that's right.
Yeah, it was. We watched in abject horror what happened in Sarajevo and Srebrenica. But it's Lebanon. Let them kill each other.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. They're getting close to Syria. They're going to excuse, well, you want to get rid of Hezbollah now. You're going to get rid of 1.5 million people. Remember those demonstrations, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, 100,000 against Syria?
Yeah.
Fine. And then when the pro-Syrian come in there, 1.5 million, I read that in a paper the other day.
Exactly. And
now,
you know,
if you're talking about democracy, which side are you on?
Well, when you've got George Bush standing there, heaven's sakes. This just shows how dim a bulb the man is. The irony was completely lost on him. He said, you cannot expect to have free elections in Lebanon unless the Syrian, unless it is no longer occupied by the military.
Yeah,
he said that.
I know he said that.
I mean,
I'm sorry for interruption.
No, please, go ahead.
At the same time, you look at it, that's a new generation in past 25 years, that's a young people 20, 25 years old don't even know what happened in 80.
No. All they have no clue. All they want is American blue jeans.
That's it. Got it.
They
almost took it off of my butt in Sofia, Bulgaria, in Hotel Moscow when I was down about maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Exactly. And they'd like to go to a club and be able to dance
That's it.
And do what young people do. There's not that much, you know, there's not that much a difference. And you've got to remember that Hezbollah in Lebanon is not some sort of weirdo crackdown outfit.
No.
Like what you've got with Ayatollah Ali Sistani.
I know.
You know, Hezbollah is not trying to bring some sort of strange ultra conservative every woman has to wear a giant hood over her head version of Islam to Lebanon.
Well, they're pushing for Ayatollah to get in there, and that's what they're going to get. Today I heard in the news the president of Iraq is going to be a guy of Kurds from North Iraq.
Right.
And the vice president is going to be a Shiite guy, and Sunni is going to be hanging in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Well, they're going to be between the two pincers of a really nasty pair of vice grips.
That's going to be a bloody war. I don't think the war has begun yet over there.
No, it hasn't.
That's what you...
No, they're gonna wait, and it's gonna look. It's a Vietnam rewrite.
That's gonna be exactly identical.
Because
I think these guys leading us in disaster with the Social Security, with the war in the Middle East, with a bunch of lies they're giving us. You know what bugs me? Where the hell are those so-called true Republican senators and congressmen and Democrats to impeach the guy?
Yeah,
get him out of there because he lied. He dragging this country into disaster.
Well, you know, we talked to a gentleman last night who calls himself the freeway blogger. He hangs signs all over on the highway. And he had one that said, "We're all wearing the blue dress now." You know what I mean? You know, we spent $70 million over a stained blue dress in Bill Clinton. But this, you know, George Bush gets 1,500 soldiers killed, 100,000 plus innocent Iraqi civilians, more than half of whom are women and children under the age of 15.
Well, let me interrupt you again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talking about 100,000 civilians. About 3 months ago, there was one news that came from BB, from British broadcaster, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're saying that just only during a bombing, not U.S. military, Marines, or Green Beret, or whatever you want to call it, Army, just from bombing, over 300,000 Iraqi people are killed. And what I also heard, all those new bodies they're discovering today, they've been so-called dead, the massacre, those are probably killed by so-called coalition troops in there just as well, so they'll have more evidence to blame the other side.
Well, there was one woman who was executed, Kamel. It was execution style. She was shot through the side of her head. She was a pharmacist.
Yes.
She worked in a drugstore. She dressed like Western people. You know, she did not wear the hijab, and she was found with a bullet through her head, and a hijab had been put on her.
That's right.
But does that not tell us what we can expect in the future of Iraq?
Well, that's not just Iraq, Lebanon and Syria, including Iran just as well. I mean, you know, Bob, I'm telling you, I don't know. I hope to God that somebody's going to wise up and say, let's impeach the guys before he buried this country. Now he's talking about punishing the China.
Yeah.
Yes, was it last night? I was watching some kind of a news. A big general who's talking, he said, oh, we are capable of doing business for China. We are capable physically have a war with them because China cannot afford to fight a war with the United States. I said, well, seems like those guys talking about nuclear weapons then. How else are you going to fight a war with China? You can't.
There's a congressman from Texas who was talking just last week about dropping nuclear arms on Syria.
Yes, I wouldn't.
We are talking about genuine crazy people.
And then they get mad when Senator Byrd said this is a typical Nazi type regime, which it is.
Yeah.
If you remember, right when the war started, that I talked to you once when you took the Bill's place, when I said, you watch and see. That's going to hit the Syria. They're going to hit Iran. And they're going to hit everybody in there. And this is only a front. And all those things has everything to do with the Ariel Sharon and Israel policy, which the dictated Bush what to do and how to do it.
Well, even Paul Wolfowitz, or either it was him or Richard Pearl a few months back, who said, we did Iraq on account of Israel. I mean, and that's the administration admitting it. That's not me. That's not some crazy liberal. Kamel, I appreciate your call. I hope we'll hear from you again soon. We've got to hit our break.
God. Take care, and I'm glad you're on the air now.
All right, thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, break time. Thanks. Boy, you guys have got it going tonight. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A state lawmaker is targeting methamphetamine production with a bill that would make wanton endangerment by fire a felony. Senator Billy Wayne Bailey, a Democrat representing Wyoming County, says the threat of fire from meth labs could endanger children inside a home or also endanger neighbors. Under Bailey's legislation, if police raid a home and find a meth lab, they can now have another felony charge of wanton endangerment if there are children inside the house. Bailey's legislation was offered Wednesday as a companion bill to one that would further restrict the purchase of certain over-the-counter cold medications that contain ingredients necessary for meth production. State Environmental Quality Board members are allowing industry to fund a study on West Virginia's water pollution limit on aluminum and choose the consultant to conduct it despite objections from environmentalists. Don Garvin of the State Environmental Council says the board has agreed to base a public policy decision that affects one industry on a study that is paid for by that industry, and he says that's a bad decision. At yesterday's Water Quality Board meeting in Charleston, industry chemist Gene Hethorn said unidentified business interests would fund the study. Three people were hospitalized yesterday after a head-on collision near Beckley. Sheriff's deputies say a vehicle driven by Elaine Wood of Beckley tried to turn left onto Mount Tabor Circle Road from the westbound lane of State Route 3 when she collided head-on with a vehicle driven by Robert Dean Gerald of Naoma. Wood, Gerald, and his wife Vicki were taken to Raleigh General. Wood was cited for failure to yield right away. Gerald was cited for a seatbelt violation. And a Wyoming County woman who was the alleged ringleader in the beating and torture of two Beckley men has entered a plea. Christina Brooks of Mullins pleaded guilty yesterday to two counts of malicious wounding, as well as one count of conspiracy to commit a felony. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Not so good. Tonight, rain and snow showers. It becomes all snow showers after midnight. Colder tonight, too, mid-20s. And for Saturday, snow showers likely. Could be an inch accumulation tomorrow. Tomorrow's high only near 30, and then for Sunday, partly cloudy and cold with a high near 30. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
The Southern West Virginia Home Builders Association presents the 24th Annual Home and Leisure Show, sponsored by 84 Lumber and Hometown Electric. The show will be held this Saturday from 1 to 9, this Sunday from 1 to 5. The show will be filled with up-to-date home improvement ideas as well as leisurely items for your home and recreational time. Door prizes will be given away, free parking, sponsored by David Hill Concrete. Admission to the show, $2 per person over 12 years of age, or two canned goods per person. Kids under 12, free. All canned goods will be donated to area shelters, including Pine Haven Homeless Shelter and the Women's Resource Center.
Hey, look, it's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you?
Really?
Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welch, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really. So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now. From Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
Don't you just love sample day at the grocery store? You get to nibble on a whole variety of things without committing to something that may not agree with your taste buds. Apply that same home idea to the world of romance, and you find yourself at Cupid.com, the place where you can meet hundreds of guys in your own hometown through our website or at one of our fun local events. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. Most online dating services build worldwide networks of strangers thousands of miles apart, but Cupid.com concentrates on bringing people together who have things in common, including an area code. And since the people that use Cupid.com are looking for true love, one match is all it takes to find your soulmate. Tired of the bitter taste of just another date? Sample your true love at Cupid.com, online or at a local event. Cupid.com.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
One of the favorite whipping boys of right-wing moralists is Larry Flint, the self-described smut peddler and civil libertarian. But holy moly, smuts has gone corporate. Some of the most prim and proper, most Republican of CEOs are quietly slipping bundles of dirty money into their hand-tailored pinstripe suits, money derived from their burgeoning business of peddling porn on television. I'm not talking about the tame fare of desperate housewives or the flashing of Janet Jackson's breast on a Super Bowl broadcast, but about the really raunchy stuff of X-rated movies now available on your own personal tube. Movies rated single X feature nudity and simulated sex. Double X movies show real sex. And triple X, well, it can cause your eyeballs to explode. Thanks to cable and satellite TV, you can get all three in your own home, not only courtesy of Larry Flint, but also of such heavy-hitting corporate Republicans as Rupert Murdoch. His DirecTV satellite company peddles this stuff, as does EchoStar Satellite Company. If you don't have a dish, no problem. Just hook up to Adelphia Communications, the nation's fifth largest cable TV provider. Adelphia was once run by the ultra-conservative John Regas, who considered even the softest porn immoral. But alas, John had other moral weaknesses. He got caught looting the company and now faces prison time. Adelphia's new top executives are still backers of George W. and other moral values Republicans, but they've redefined the company's morality in terms of hard cash, making a grab for the $1 billion a year market for TV sex. Adelphia has become the first major cable company to offer the most explicit, hardest core programming to its subscribers. As a company official explains, people want it, so we're trying to provide it. The more X's, the more popular. This is Jim Hightower saying, in corporate world, money trumps morality every time.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. It's 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is an interesting little transition from what Kimmel was talking about. You're aware, I mean, we've talked about the assassination attempt on Giuliana Sgrena, the Italian journalist. Italian President Carlo Azeglio Ciampi, I'm great in an Italian restaurant, I'm not kidding, has written a letter to the George W. Bong hit, and in the letter he insists on transparency by U.S. military officials investigating the attack. The letter starts out, "Dear Mr. President, Dear George, I've taken note of your assurance that the U.S. will launch an exhaustive joint inquiry between our two countries so the facts of this tragedy are cleared up in an exhaustive manner. This need for transparency and speed is profoundly felt by the people of Italy, like George cares. The recriminations are going back and forth. The Italians have demanded the vehicle and the phones that were in use at the time, which we are less than willing to give up. You know, you don't want to let go of the evidence because evidence tends to point toward, crimes. Don Rumfield has called Italian Defense Minister Antonio Martino, called him back on the 2nd, to express sympathy. But meanwhile, the prosecutor's office in Rome has opened its own inquiry. And like I said, I've asked U.S. military officials to hand over the car and the mobile phones and satellite phones that they were that were taken by U.S. soldiers after the shooting. And the car was supposed to have been flown to Italy on the 2nd. It's a Toyota Corolla. But the Italian military plane sent to pick up the car came back, fill in the blank, empty. However, the public broadcasting entity, RAI, in Italy did have photographs of the car after the attack and reported that U.S. gunshots had been aimed at passenger level. Now, that's contrary to the claims that the shots were fired at the engine block. Work with me here. Ms. Screna is facing surgery this Monday for a bullet wound to her shoulder. She's given further interviews to that prosecutor, to the investigators. Now, back up for a minute. We've got all of that. And you know that it has been alleged that the car had made it through all the checkpoints, every last checkpoint, that there was, in fact, no checkpoint that was sped by, you know, the people who shot at Ms. Screna's automobile and killed Signor Calipari. Claimed that the car was traveling at a high rate of speed. However, the driver did survive, and he said they were going no more than about 15 to 20 miles per hour. Now, is that what constitutes high speed in Iraq? I don't know. I do know this. Do the words Battalion 316 mean anything to you? Probably not, especially not to the right-wing nuts. Battalion 316 was the Honduran death squad that rounded up truculent Central American Indians and priests and nuns and peasants and slaughtered them during the Reagan administration. The ambassador to Honduras at that time was a man, and I use the term loosely, I would prefer war criminal, named John Negroponte, translated as John Blackbridge, John Bridge into Darkness and Death, Negroponte. Now, you know who John Negroponte is. John Negroponte oversaw the illegal war against the Nicaraguans during the Reagan administration. He is a crook and a thug and a murderer. And because he's all that, he has, of course, been repeatedly promoted. He disappeared into the dark and the shadows during the Clinton years. But as soon as George W. Bong hit, got back in office, all of them popped back up like vampires straight out of their coffins. Because the great darkness, big darkness comes soon. The big darkness had descended as soon as George Bush took office. John Negroponte, Poindexter, Otto Reich, the list is almost endless. All these killers from the Reagan years came back to life. John Negroponte was at the UN for a while. And then as soon as Paul Bremer had gotten done ripping us off to the tune of about $9 billion that are still unaccounted for, as the head of the Coalition Provisional Authority, once we handed over Iraq to the Iraqis, took down our flag and ran theirs up to see if anyone would salute. Then John Negroponte was made, you know, ambassador to Iraq. Now, this man has experience overseeing death squads. This man has experience in disappearing human beings. This John Bridge into Blackness. John Blackbridge, John Negroponte. He has all that experience. As I have said before, the Italians claim there was no military checkpoint for them to stop at when the gunfire began raining into their vehicle. That wounded Signor Calipari, or killed Signor Calipari with a direct shot to the head and wounded the journalist who had told the story of Fallujah and the massacre of civilians in Fallujah, Giuliana Screna. There was no checkpoint. American officers, an American colonel was standing next to an Italian official at Baghdad airport when they were on the phone with Signor Calipari as he approached less than 700 meters from the airport and was attacked. So what of John Negroponte? Associated Press, March 10th. Baghdad. U.S. troops who mistakenly, see, there's some bad journalism right there, assuming facts not in evidence. U.S. troops who killed an Italian intelligence agent last week on the road to Baghdad's international airport were part of extra security provided by the U.S. Army to protect U.S. Ambassador John Negroponte, a U.S. official confessed yesterday. Here's the quote from U.S. Embassy spokesman Robert Callahan. Now, bear in mind, they didn't come out, the government didn't, and confess this right away. First, it came out in a newspaper in Italy called La Repubblica, reporting Wednesday that the checkpoint had been, quote, set up to protect the passage of Ambassador Negroponte, Ambassador Blackbridge, Ambassador Bridge into Death and Blackness. U.S. Embassy spokesman Robert Callahan said the mobile patrol was there to enhance security because Ambassador Negroponte was expected through. What would Dana Carvey say from the Saturday Night Live?
Well, isn't that convenient? Isn't that special?
The mobile patrol was there to enhance security because Ambassador Negroponte was expected through. You have to pay attention to the language. You have to watch the words. You have to hear what there's. What you have to read between the lines. You have to lines. Hell, you have to read between the words. The mobile patrol. The mobile patrol. Now, back up. This happened a week ago. I first mentioned it. Exactly a week ago, Friday night, on Head On. And what did the early news reports say? Think, come on, thinking caps. The monkeys can scratch each other's heads and pick the nits out and munch on them and stuff while they're thinking. What did the early reports say? The early reports said the car was fired on when it refused to stop for a checkpoint 700 meters from the Baghdad airport entrance. Right, John?
Sure.
Okay. A checkpoint. Now, it's not much of a checkpoint if you don't know where it is it? Guess what? It wasn't a checkpoint. It was what John Negroponte is particularly familiar with, John Blackbridge. It was a death squad. He had a hand in them in Honduras. God knows how many hundreds or thousands were killed. And he's got his hand in one now. It was not known if Negroponte, who was nominated last month by President Bush to be the new director of national intelligence, you know, the chief spy, who has access to all the really creepy stuff, had already passed through the checkpoint. It wasn't even known if John Negroponte was in the general area. It wasn't known if John Blackbridge was at the Baghdad airport or somewhere in the green zone. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, who is one of Bush's buddies, has questioned the U.S. Army's version of events, including a claim that the car was speeding and ignored signals to stop. The Army finally acknowledged that the checkpoint was temporary, but has no details about why it was set up. Hear it again, but has no details about why it was set up. The United States Army has no details about why a group of U.S. Army soldiers were waiting on Juliana Skrena's car. No details. Okay, those of you in my generation, a little bit older, think back, television time, the secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions. Can we have some questions answered? First of all, why will our government not turn over the automobile and the cell phones and the satellite phones? Why will we not turn those over to the Italians? What are we afraid of? Why do we not want them to be able to examine the evidence in the case? Is it possible that the shots were not fired into the engine block, but instead were fired laterally? If the shots were fired laterally, guess what it was? It was an ambush. If the shots were fired laterally into the automobile at passenger level and only managed to kill the one man who was throwing his body across Juliana Segrena, guess what it was? It was an assassination attempt. If all of that happened under cover of darkness, 8:55 p.m., about 2 hours before Baghdad's curfew, and the shots were fired laterally, 400 rounds into the car, they say, and yet only one kill shot. If all of that happened, what is it? You know the answer. It is that thing with which John Blackbridge, that dealer in death, it is the one thing with which he is most familiar and has been familiar low since 1985, 1984, something that was a specialty for him. It was a death squad. Just like we train down at School of the Americas in, what, Columbus, Georgia? Just like are used on peasants the world over when the right wing gets control of the United States. I took a lot of grief when Ronald Reagan finally shuffled off this mortal coil to go to his appointment in hell. But when you have authored the murder of tens of thousands of peasants and Indians and poor people, and I don't think you can expect a whole lot of forgiveness at the pearly gates. And he authored that when the very Congress itself said, "Thou shalt not." And his instrument of destruction, his boot on the ground, as it were, was John Negroponte. And the instrumentality was Battalion 316. And now it's happening all over again. And you know what? It's our fault. It's particularly the fault of the people who voted for George Bush. They have a lot of repenting to do. A lot. It may take a lifetime. But remember, the people who killed Signor Calipari, they were supposedly army, and yet the army has no details of their actions. The people who killed Signor Calipari
or a death squad? How many times do we have to see it before, again and again and again and again and again, before we realize that we are being led down the primrose path to hell, I might note, by a bunch of killers, and that when you follow killers, you become a killer. We'll be back after the top of the hour news. Negroponte, Black Bridge, the bridge into darkness, the bridge into death. He's our boy. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is a warning. It's cold and flu season, and antibiotics don't work for a cold or the flu. Taking them will not help you feel better or get back to work faster. Ask your healthcare provider what to do for colds and the flu, but don't ask for antibiotics. Get smart. Know when antibiotics work. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/getsmart. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, CDC, and FDA.
For the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Michael McKean and David Lander.
David, did you know that the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is the world leader in MS research services and professional education?
Yep, they've been helping me for over 20 years, and we can help them by visiting their website or calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
You know everything.
I get around.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR. Beckley, it's 9 o'clock.
Donna, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
When you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A little more light snow for tonight with lows in the mid-20s. We've got an area of low pressure and a subsequent front. It's going to keep us around 32 on Saturday afternoon with off and on snow showers likely. Dealing with that tomorrow night and gradually just a slight chance of snow, 30% to be exact, on Sunday as we round out the weekend with a high of 33 and then increased sunshine early next week.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Lest you think that I forgot things going on closer to home. Remember when we talked about the workers' comp issue? Remember when we talked about this private insurance company that's going to be set up to be workers' comp now? You remember when I wondered who was going to be running the show? Well, you've probably already heard it today. But it turns out, and I guess it's just a miracle, but Greg Burton is going to be the president of the new workers' comp. Wait, breaking news. Final? Wow. Okay, never mind. The heck with workers' comp. Time out. Back up. Pot the mic down, John. WVU 78. You knew this before I did. And you didn't even call to tell me, and it's such good news. Shame on you all.
WVU 78, Villanova,
goodbye,
76. So that puts us in the finals, the Big East finals, right? Okay. I know, I'm not supposed to get excited about sports, but damn it, that's my alma mater. Even if they have turned into fiends of coal. That's okay. I love them anyway. That's the way it is when you're a family. You know, you let them make mistakes, like, you know, being sponsored by the fiends of coal. WVU 78, Villanova 76. And I guess what? Syracuse versus Connecticut here in a little bit, and we'll find out who we face. Odds are we're going to face Connecticut. But it's been a nice run anyway. Sorry. I get excited. It's my Mounties. Seriously, though, they have announced the new Employers Mutual Insurance Company. It's been incorporated with the Secretary of State. It's all official. The stamps and the seals and the ribbons and everything are all over it. And the Executive Director of Workers' Compensation, Greg Burton, as it turns out, who knows how these things work? It's just funny that way. He's going to be the company president and the chief executive officer. And Philip Lynch is going to be vice president for employer services, and R. Philip Scheimer is going to be vice president for operations, and T.J. Obrokta Jr. is going to be vice president and secretary, and Christopher Howitt's going to be treasurer. Gene Bailey and Everett Sullivan are going to represent business and labor, respectively, on the three-member provisional board headed by Governor Manchin. And it will begin operating on January 1, 2006. This is just pure curiosity on my part, okay? This is just hypothetical-ism. Another one of those damned isms. If workers' compensation was irreparably broken when it was a state-run entity, is it just me, or does it seem a little strange to make the same people who were running it when it was irretrievably and irrevocably broken the guys who are going to run the new insurance company? I mean, not that I wanted the job or anything. I didn't. Or that not that I know of anyone who should have had the job, but let's go back to that Titanic analogy from yesterday. If the captain of the Titanic, who runs it into an iceberg, manages to survive the sinking, does it make sense to put him in charge of the boat that's going out there to replace it? Yeah, just me. Just me. Here's a big shock. Woohoo! State Environmental Quality Board members are allowing industry to fund a study on West Virginia's water pollution limit on aluminum and choose the consultant to conduct it and decide what he says and decide when they publish it. A public policy decision is going to be based on a study provided by the industry that the public policy decision is meant to regulate. Okay, I guess I'm off my meds again, because that doesn't make a damn bit of sense to me either. Oh, there she is, industry chemist Jenny Henthorne, who works for Bowles Rice McDavid Graff and Love, or as I like to refer to them, Rice Bowles, said yesterday at the Water Quality Board meeting in Charleston that unidentified business interests would fund the study. Unidentified business interests.
It's alive.
You know, I'm not for, you know, spending a lot of taxpayer money, but, you know, I think this is one instance where we might be better off letting the taxpayers, you know, you, me, the people that are going to drink the aluminum in the water, fund the study that determines how much more aluminum Don Blankenship gets to dump into the water. The consultant will review previous scientific studies of aluminum toxicity. Review them? Nah, rewrite them. Well, we have found the methodology. Write it down, because this is what you're going to read whenever the study comes up. We have determined that the methodology used in the prior studies, which indicate a certain level of toxicity in aluminum,
were fatally flawed by bad data. You'll hear it. It's going to be there. You know it. We further find that aluminum is only slightly less efficacious in warding off cancer, catarrh, beriberi, the phantods, and the heartbreak of psoriasis is only less, slightly less effective at warding all of those things off than echinacea. In fact, aluminum in your system, we have determined, is good for you. Go to your cabinet right now, get out a piece of aluminum foil, ball it up, and chomp on it. It will be good for you. We promise. We're messy. Ah, board member Scott Simonton says the consultant's work won't be the only information the board will consider when it makes a final decision on a new water quality limit. And what does that mean? That means that they will also consider what Don wants. Because where this water quality board is concerned, since it's going to be an industry-funded study, what Don wants, Don's going to get. Answer me the question, why do we have to revise the water quality standards for aluminum? Why? What's wrong with them the way they are? Why do we need more aluminum in the water? Because you know damned good and well this is not going to result in there being new standards that permit less aluminum in the water. That's what they were complaining about in the first place when they were trying to do all this in secret. You understand? They want to poison us some more. There aren't enough children with learning disabilities. There aren't enough attention deficit disorders. There aren't enough. Oh, there's not. No, there's never enough pollution to satisfy Don Blankenstein, Don Coleone. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
Listen, what there isn't enough of is profit. That's what their concern is.
Money, money, money.
And, you know, and they're concerned about you. I mean, you know, they want you to have more aluminum so you won't rust.
God.
You know,
it'll protect
that iron. You know, iron. That makes you rust.
And it'll protect us against lightning because aluminum's not a good conductor of electricity either. See, this is going to be good for us. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. You just don't understand. That's what's wrong with you liberals.
Oh God.
You don't understand.
We're just dumb, Wayne.
Yeah, we are dumb. Well, and that's what I was talking about to you last night. I mean, it's amazing the people that support all these vicious things that these people want, you know.
Yeah, they're the smart ones.
Yeah, you know. It just amazes me. You know, you need more aluminum. I mean, more aluminum's good for you, you know, and that way the companies can make more money, and that's good for them.
Well,
not that they're going to pass it on to you.
Now,
but
don't forget the more manganese.
Right, there you go.
Don't forget the more mercury. Got to have more mercury, too.
Right, well, that's right. You know, you just don't understand. These people are looking out for your best interests.
Do we get much more of this stuff, we're going to wind up looking like the Tin Man from the Wizard of Oz.
Right, and then you really won't care. You know, they'll just put a little motor on you. And
we can all go to work for Massey.
Yes. And be happy.
Happy, yes, happy.
And be happy. I don't know. Amazing thing. Did you see Bird in the paper today?
Yeah, I did.
He's a sly old man, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
I bet you're thinking the same thing I am.
Well, yeah, you know, he's gonna, now he could tell everybody what a conservative and
yeah,
how he's on Bush's side with that.
That's what I got to thinking, Wayne. You know, because I said last night I didn't understand why he voted for the bankruptcy bill.
Well, now you do.
I opened the paper and bang, there it was. You know.
And you know, and here's for those of you that don't understand, like the girls on the board, if
not the real girls.
No, not the real girls. The phony girls. The girls that don't want to admit they're girls.
Yeah.
Those girls. They needed, the Republicans needed 5 more people. See, they got 55.
Yeah.
They needed 60.
Yeah, for closure.
They needed 5 more people to get to the 60.
Mm-hmm.
If Byrd would have been number 60,
he would have
voted no.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done it.
But Byrd found out he was number 68. Yeah, I'll vote for that.
Sure.
You know.
Political cover.
There you go. There you go.
That guy.
I could tell everybody he's just as conservative and he's just as much on George Bush's side as Shelley Moore Capito.
Right. And it was 75-24 for the bankruptcy bill itself.
Right.
There wasn't going to be any, there was no question that the thing was going to pass.
None at all.
So Byrd votes for the bill. And since we know that Shelley Moore is going to run against Byrd for the Senate seat in 2006.
Right.
Well, now the Senate bill is going to go to the House.
There you go.
And Shelley Moore is either going to have to get her knee pads on again and do what she does best of all, and that is do what George Bush wants her to do.
That's a very not ugly statement.
I'm sorry for the image. Or, since Byrd has already voted for the bankruptcy bill, if she's going to differentiate herself from Byrd, she's going to have to vote against it in the House.
Yes, she is.
He's a wily old guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And if she votes against it...
now what she has to do is start counting.
Yeah.
And that's where you get in trouble, because in the House...
That's a lot more counting.
A lot more things to count.
Yeah. Of course, you know, she can get the numbers pretty easy because she's real good friends with Tom DeLay.
Yeah, I know, but see, there's some people that are starting not to trust Tom so much anymore.
Yeah.
He's in, you know, the indictment thing?
Mm-hmm.
He's in pretty deep doo-doo.
he's in the brown and stinky, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
about
he
it.
Is, man. Yeah, he really is. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I shouldn't have said that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he has to swim around in there for a long time.
Well, have you seen the latest outrage?
What's that?
You remember how there was all this talk back during the Clinton administration about how the Clinton administration was taking money from foreign nationals and, you know, some guy had a Chinese buffet in Little Rock and we were going to have to spend $20 million investigating him because he gave him a free Chinese meal once. Remember all that? Yeah. Okay. Turns out, Tom DeLay, bug spray boy, just went to South Korea.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And an agent for a South Korean company kind of paid for it.
Isn't that amazing?
I'll be damned. And what's
legal now that Tom DeLay did it?
No. It's still a crime. Right. But we're not going to pay any attention to it. Right. We're not going to pay attention to it or investigate it or anything like that, Wayne. Because you know, if we did that, well, you know. But what's more, apparently Tom DeLay likes to play golf too.
Okay.
Now I'm a golfer.
Yeah.
And it's one of my lifelong dreams to play at the place where they first played it ever. And that's
Scotland?
That's the Royal and Ancient Club at St. Andrews in Scotland.
Okay.
I have to this day not been able to do so yet. Tom DeLay?
Because you're not tight with Tom.
Yeah, well, Tom DeLay just got done playing around at St. Andrews.
Well, see, Bob, you just haven't chosen your friends correctly.
But see, and here's the really cool part, Wayne. It was funded by an agent of a foreign power.
South Korea?
I don't think so this time.
Huh?
Probably North Korea, yeah.
Yeah, probably North Korea.
But, you know, he's Tom, so he gets to do that.
Yes.
Because he's better than us. I mean, God knows, if some Democrat did it, you could probably orbit outside, you could probably orbit the earth and hear the Republicans screaming.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you could.
But, you know, this crook did it. And, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, well, you know.
And meanwhile, they're trying to put the heat. He's getting ready to get his sorry rear end indicted, Tom is. And they're trying to bring the heat on this Ronnie Earls, the prosecutor, who sort of takes umbrage at people in Texas tap dancing on the laws of Texas.
That's not true. Isn't that the attorney general?
No, he's a prosecuting attorney of one of the counties down there.
Okay.
But he's the one that's already indicted a bunch of bug spray DeLay's
okay, buddies. But I mean, this is the Democrat, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he is by definition wrong.
Okay, I thought he had a... So what is he? He's the prosecuting attorney?
Yeah.
And has been
or
for
district
many
attorney,
years.
Yeah. He's
and
been there for a while.
And has prosecuted many Democrats, if I remember correctly.
You are correct, sir.
Right.
But
he's a fair guy, then.
No. He's dirty. He's political. He's crooked. He's just doing this to be mean to Jesus' best friend, Tom DeLay.
To Tom DeLay.
Yeah. But here's the best part of all. I don't know if you were following the news yesterday.
I may not have been.
This guy, he's in legal trouble. And, I mean, he's in bad legal trouble. And
He showed up with like pajamas on.
Oh yeah, man,
and
that's
freak. And went to the hospital, and you know, because he's in such legal trouble.
Right.
Well, I'm not talking about Michael Jackson.
You're talking about Tom DeLay.
I'm talking about Tom DeLay.
Did he do that too?
Yeah, he was treated for a heart condition. Yesterday.
Were there a bunch of fans outside screaming and yelling?
We love you, Tommy. Oh, yes, we do. Yeah. Went to Bethesda.
I can see it now.
Yeah, went to Bethesda National Naval Medical Center when he heard he was about to get indicted.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was released and returned home after a series of tests. But oddly enough, he's not so sick that he can't stick to his plans and go stumping to kill Social Security in Florida and Georgia and Texas this weekend.
With his good friend?
With his very good friend. His longtime
companion.
He
hasn't made any statements like, if it's good enough for the gloved one, it's good enough for me. Anything like that?
Oh, no, you know, and you know, again, this is one of these, you know, he's one of these right-wing religious freaks. What the hell's he doing in a hospital? I keep asking that question. Why are these people going to hospitals?
Exactly.
Go get a swig of strychnine. Have somebody let a, you know, venomous snake slither around on you. Have somebody get Benny Hinn to lay hands on you and go home.
Right, or go see Jerry, or, well, there's a whole bunch of them.
Right.
You know, that I'd avoid them guys that hit you in the forehead.
It turns.
They could do serious damage.
It turns out Tom has arrhythmia. Arrhythmia.
Now I've heard that before. What is that?
That's when your heart doesn't beat right. Or perhaps it's
how could that be?
He doesn't have a heart. Yeah. He's a monster.
He's
undead. I mean, you know,
my
kids like to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer and stuff like that. You know, all these undead creatures. You know, I swear I've seen Tom doing cameos on that show from time to time.
I don't doubt that at all.
But remember, you know, he's got this dirty pack, this political action committee Tom does.
Oh, and well, I was reading a little bit about it today, man. He is very, very involved.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he likes to give it away to the people he likes best.
Right. But he gets the money from corporations.
Right.
You're not allowed to
and
do
he
that.
And he funnels it through a foster children's charity.
Right.
I mean, this guy is just, he's a pro. I mean, what did Hunter Thompson say? God rest his soul. When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. This guy is a pro.
Yeah, he is.
And so he likes to pass out his PAC money. And he likes some people better than he likes others, Wayne.
I don't doubt that.
Do you know who one of his favorite people is?
Tell me.
Shelley Moore.
Is that right?
There's only one other person, and I don't know what knee pad wearer it is that has gotten more money from his pack than Miss Shelley. I mean, come on, she's a Moore. If there's dirty money to be had, she's going to find it. It's genetic in that bunch.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah.
But
that's,
you know,
I think
a lot of good could come out of this. I want her to run against Senator Byrd because I want to see her just gut stomped in an election because Republicans vote for Senator Byrd.
Senator Byrd's a good man.
Yeah, he is.
You know, it really upsets me. I, you know, some of these people, the way they talk about him. I mean, my gosh.
But then, you know, I mean, we get to kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. As
yes,
the saying
we
goes.
Do.
We get rid of Shelley Moore in the second district and get a decent Democrat back in.
Well, I'll tell you who I'm going to go for, and I can't think of his name right now. Just slipped me. Eric Wells.
Yeah.
Who ran against her last time.
And ran creditably as well.
Very creditably.
Didn't run
and with no money.
Yeah, didn't run a dirty campaign.
Not at all.
Just talked about the issues.
Yep.
Good
Very
guy.
Very knowledgeable, honorable kid. Well, I call him a guy, you know.
Yeah, they're
know
all.
How old he is.
Yeah, they're all kids to you.
He's a hell of a lot younger than me.
Yeah, they're all kids to you.
Yes. So. No, he's a nice guy, man.
Yeah.
He's a serious guy. He knows the issues. I think he'd make a very good man.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, who have the Republicans got to run there?
I don't know.
Monty?
I'm not familiar with him.
Monty?
Call up Don Corleone. He'll tell you who's going to run.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, sure he will. Yeah, he will.
Maybe he'll run.
Hey, there you go. I have to get rid of that mole, though. Don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, give some rat a go downtown and pay some rat quarter to gnaw that thing off his face.
Yeah, chew it off. Yeah. He's got a lot of rats.
Oh.
Around him.
Yeah.
Or he could do it himself, seeing that he's the biggest rat. So.
I needed a
what
good.
What else do we know?
I needed a good laugh, Wayne. Honest to God, I did.
Well, You know, this is, it's funny, my wife and I were talking a little earlier. I don't know if you remember this, but I'm going to say it again because I want to get credit for this down the road here a little bit.
Yeah.
After the election, you know, did I not call and say, well, now we just get to sit back and watch them self-destruct?
Yep.
They ain't even been there 2 months yet, have they? I mean,
no.
On their new thing?
No, January to February. No, they're coming up on 2 months.
They're doing a hell of a job. They're really working hard. They're doing good. And I'm for them 100%, man. Go for it.
And you know what? After a while, they'll start eating their own.
Oh, yeah, they do that. Well, they do that in... I told you, I think I still got an old-timer Newsweek around here somewhere when they threw Gingrich out.
Yeah.
And that was the headline, you know, party eats its own, or something to that effect.
Well, and you can see it beginning because in the Senate, the Republicans are scratching their heads and looking at the Bush budget and, you know, sort of, you know, whispering back to the White House, hey, you jerks realize we got to go back home and run on this garbage?
Well, and that's exactly right. And the people, too, Bob. See, all the people that think that they're, I think that they get the word conservative, really, they think that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, I'll be a conservative. That's what I am. I'll blah, blah, blah. Well, then they, you know, and they're all for everything that Bush wants to do until they find out, oh, their wife can't work anymore because they're taking away the daycare.
Yeah.
You know, now all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute, maybe conservative ain't too cool.
Yeah, all of a sudden, conservative's not so hot when it means that they're taking the drug-free schools program away.
Right.
You know, it's not so cool to be conservative when your kid's whacked out of his mind on meth. Yeah. Taking cops off the streets.
Right.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of all the meth labs with less money and less cops. Yeah, that's us, boy.
Love that conservatism, don't you?
Yes, I do. You know, so I think the people, you know, people are starting to, you know, get it back away from the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, because the rubber masks are off now. I mean,
yes,
we can see them for what they are. We've seen the bankruptcy bill. We have seen what they want to do to Social Security. We have seen the Bush budget. And we know that it's no good for anybody in America except a very few, very moneyed people.
That's exactly right.
I
heard a joke yesterday, and I guess everybody heard it. I told it to my wife, and she'd already heard it, but I thought it was funny. George Bush is out jogging, and he comes by a kid with a wagon load of puppies,
mm-hmm.
and says to the kid, what kind of puppies are there? And the kid said, them's Republican puppies. George Bush says, good, and he continues his jog. Well, a few days later, he's jogging again, and here comes the kid with a wagon full of puppies. George says, how's them Republican puppies doing? The kid says, they ain't Republicans anymore. He says, they're Democrats. They opened their eyes yesterday.
That's a dandy, Wayne, and on that one we're going to quit.
And, that's a good one. Open your eyes and look at what these people are doing to you.
And you won't be a Republican anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Thanks, not Wayne. Anymore. Have a great
weekend.
Tell
them they could call themselves conservative Democrats.
Sure.
That'll make them.
We got lots of those. We got lots of those.
Yes, we do.
I got some that are friends of mine.
Yes.
You know, and I've even got an ugly little conservative streak from time to time myself.
Oh, me too.
You know, I hate this damn deficit. I want to be more conservative with our money.
That's not conservative or liberal. That's called running a family properly.
Yeah.
That's good sense.
Sort of rubs off on my political views, I guess.
But, you know, what's this deficit all about? With this deficit and making us bankrupt, we could get rid of every social program that's ever done any good in this country that has created the middle class. And I'm talking Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all the good things.
Yeah, don't stop. Unemployment compensation.
Unemployment compensation. Workers' compensation.
Disability.
Right.
SSI. You know, there's not one that they don't want to kill. You know, it wasn't my side. It was Grover Norquist, the most conservative of the conservatives, who said, we want to starve the government till it's so weak that we can drown it in the bathtub.
Right.
That's their guy, not mine.
That's exactly right. He's not my guy neither.
Yeah.
Hey, have a good weekend.
All right, going to try.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, break time. If you want to get in on the... last half hour of the show. Line up, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. If you don't, I might sing. This is Head On. I'm Bob and Jake.
Head On.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Congress has approved a $284 billion highway and transit bill with money earmarked for projects in Raleigh County and southern West Virginia. Congressman Rahal tacked on $5 million for construction of the East Beckley Bypass and finding a solution to the traffic problems in Beaver and Shady Springs. Other West Virginia projects funded by the bill include the Coalfields Expressway, King Coal Highway, New River Parkway, and the Beckley Intermodal Gateway. The bill would fund transportation projects across the country for 5 years, and it passed the House by a vote of 417-9. It now goes to the Senate, where there is pressure to add more funding. Meanwhile, state and local officials met in Charleston yesterday to discuss solutions to those traffic problems in Beaver and Shady Springs. Members of the Appalachian Regional Commission and the Rahal Appalachian Transportation Institute met with Highways Commissioner Paul Maddox to discuss a proposed connector road to alleviate traffic on 19 and West Virginia Route 1. Associate Director Richard Begley said the project would not only address traffic safety issues, but create new jobs by opening up access to the Raleigh County Memorial Airport and Industrial Park. The new West Virginia Employers Mutual Insurance Company has officially incorporated with the Secretary of State's office, the private for-profit company that will become the sole provider of workers' compensation insurance to state workers next year, has also named its officers. State Superintendent David Stewart has lifted a freeze placed on construction for a consolidated high school in Mingo County. The move now clears the way for Maynard Smith Construction to start preliminary work on the controversial project. Company President John Strickland said today he hopes to have a budget ready within 40 days. Not a very nice weekend, beginning with this evening and tonight. Snow and rain showers. It turns to all snow showers and gets colder tonight, mid-20s. Saturday, snow showers likely. Could be an inch or more and colder with a high near 30. Snow showers Saturday night, low 18. And then for Sunday, a chance of lingering snow showers on Sunday morning. Rest of the day after that, partly cloudy and cold, with temperatures in the mid-30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
The Southern West Virginia Home Builders Association presents the 24th Annual Home and Leisure Show, sponsored by 84 Lumber and Hometown Electric. The show will be held this Saturday from 1 to 9, this Sunday from 1 to 5. The show will be filled with up-to-date home improvement ideas as well as leisurely items for your home and recreational time. Door prizes will be given away, free parking sponsored by David Hill Concrete. Admission to the show, $2 per person over 12 years of age, or two canned goods per person. Kids under 12, free. All canned goods will be donated to area shelters, including Pine Haven Homeless Shelter and the Women's Resource Center.
There are three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax tag and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example, 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing. Zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
You've heard it all before. Lose weight while you sleep. Erase your debts instantly, or make a fortune in your spare time. How about this one? Slash construction wages and four schools can be built for the price of three.
Ridiculous? Of course. Study after study proves that wage cuts won't reduce school construction costs. In fact, wage cuts hurt local companies and damage our communities. So don't believe everything you hear until you've heard the fact. A message from the ACT Foundation.
Number 400,610.
Number 400,611.
Number 400,000.
This year, United Way helped train over 400,000 jobless people.
700,902.
700,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter. We helped provide quality child care for over 1 million families.
1,200,000.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we help restore.
My name is David.
The communities we unite.
Jake.
The newfound optimism.
Sarah.
The sense of purpose and of community coming together.
Lee.
Diane.
Louisa.
Michael.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way. Or log on to unitedway.org.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, when it comes to lawn care in the winter, it never seems like there's enough I can do to fill my time. Got any ideas for a winter weather project?
It can be tough to find ways to stay busy during the winter, but John Deere suggests getting involved in your local area's environment.
That sounds like a good idea, but where would I start?
Well, many communities offer programs like stream cleanups that help beautify local waterways. And these activities make for great family and school projects. Adopting a stream not only brings people together, but also works to preserve and protect one of our greatest natural resources. So find out what programs are available in your area and get your feet wet, Diane.
Thanks, Bill. I'll check into some opportunities today, as long as I have a nice toasty fireplace to come home to. Tune in next time to Green and Growing for more tips from John Deere.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes, 19 and a half before 10 o'clock. 19 and a half minutes before we run out of time on this Friday night edition. Run out of time on this week. And come back 7 o'clock Monday night. You know, for my part, if the weather holds, and, you know, as a parent, there's really, you kind of got to do it. Get through the weather one way or the other. Got big doings tomorrow. Big doings. Time to make that cheesecake again and see if the boy and I can do respectably well in the father son bake off. We're very excited. He gets to stay up late tonight for when I get home so that we can bake it together. It's really yummy, too. It's got a ground pecan crust, you know, pecan flour, do it in the food processor. And then on top of it, we put the chocolate-covered cashews and caramel. You got to admit, it sounds yummy. For those of you who didn't get to watch the game, like me, here's the lowdown from the AP. Mike Gansey made two free throws with 2.2 seconds to play, to give West Virginia a 78-76 victory over Villanova tonight. And the Mountaineers, as a result, go to their first Big East Tournament championship game. Gansey had 22 points, 10 rebounds, was fouled as he put up his second rebound of a missed three-pointer by Patrick Beilein. And Gansey, who shoots 72% from the charity stripe, made both shots to keep the tournament run alive for the Mountaineers. The Mountaineers. And apparently, WVU is the first number 8 seed to reach the title game. And there's a chance to make history tomorrow when they face whoever wins between Connecticut and Syracuse. No team has ever won 4 games to win the league title In other words, everyone who wins the Big East title has always had a bye. Let's see, West Virginia beat Providence 82-59 in the opening round. They're the third team to win three games and get to the championship game in the first since Pitt. It says here Pittsburgh. No, it's Pitt. We still hate them. Since Pitt in 2001. Opening 9 minutes didn't look good. Villanova had a 23-13 lead. And then the Mounties started with those, what they're now referring to as West Virginia layups, the three-point shots. They got hot for three-point range and went on a 29-8 run that included 5 3-point shots. 14:45 left to play in the game. The Mountaineers led 53-43, and the Wildcats went on a tear. Villanova did a 10-point run, and the score went back and forth with neither team leading by more than 6 points the rest of the way. I'm so proud of these guys. They're playing with real class and real distinction. They came back from that skid that they, my God, I thought the season was over when they lost to Marshall. Some of these things you just don't get over. But I'm intensely proud of these guys. It does my heart good. Okay, I'm going to try to get to a phone call here. We got stuff going on here. I'm sorry. Trying to just keep things taken care of. Stand by. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit both buttons. I'm going to put one on hold. I'm going to pick the other one up, okay? Oh, Randy. Yeah, could you do... Hey, you're head on. Who have I got? There we go.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Yeah, hey, Kyle.
You threatened to sing, that's it all. I watched the game.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'm going to turn on and see what's going on and head on. And you threatened to sing. I thought, oh, God, he's that desperate. He needs a phone call.
Uh-oh. Oh, put him back. There you are. Sorry, we're having technical difficulty. I just hate I missed the game.
It was a great game. It was. You should have your wife tape it or something, because it was a great ball game.
I'm sure something else was on at the time, or yeah, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch sports when you got four little kids in the house.
Of course. I want to touch on. Did you hear Dr. O'Brien's program today?
Yeah, I only heard a little bit of it toward the end, but I've had inklings that something strange happened.
Well, he brought up something that. Whoever was doing producing the show had taken off the wire about McDonald's.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Do I now?
I've got the story right here.
Have you read that story?
Yeah, I have, and I keep wondering if it was a joke, but it's an Associated Press story.
Have you discussed that on the air tonight?
No, not at all. Kyle. Apparently, McDonald's is not happy with the fact that they only get the orders through the drive-thru right 95% of the time.
Right.
And as a result of that, they are going to outsource it to a call center somewhere else.
Yep. And they're testing this in the northeastern or the northwestern.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest.
The Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And they said, that seems strange. We had a discussion this evening. I had a meeting we go to, if you consider it on McDonald's, well, you only get complaints from 5% of your customers. Well, how many McDonald's are there nationwide?
Oh, mercy. Thousands upon tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. I'm not sure.
5% of each one, that's a significant number of complaints.
Yeah, that's a lot of human beings. And, I've been one. I'm sure maybe you have, too.
Of course I have.
You say, no ketchup on that. You get ketchup. One time, Kyle, I ordered a quarter pounder that was bun. No meat. No hamburger at all.
Right.
So, and then anybody who's seen the Lethal Weapon movies knows what Joe Pesci says about what happens at the drive-thru.
And most of these are young people.
Yeah.
These are, they're high school, college at best age kids. Basically high school age young people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my point is, that's a problem with communication. You're in the communication business.
Yeah.
And since I'm in a communication business, if we don't communicate with our customers, I'm in taxi business and limousine business.
Right. If you don't understand where to go,
customers.
Yeah.
if the person answering the phone doesn't listen and hear what customer is saying, and they dispatch that trip, for instance, if you say, pick up at such and such address on such and such street, and the driver says, well, what apartment number? Oh, I didn't ask.
Right.
You know, where are they going to? They told me, but I forgot.
Right.
That's two vital pieces because you're not listening.
That's going to make you late getting there. That's going to upset your customer. That's a chance that you're never going to get. You're never going to get that guy again.
You're sitting outside this huge apartment building with maybe, you know, anywhere from 10 to maybe 100 or 400 apartments or whatever. Which apartment in this building is calling this taxi?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's communication.
Well, sure it is. And if you watch them work inside a McDonald's or for that matter, Kyle, any other fast food outfit, I think it's a management issue to a certain extent because you've got guys and women who are trying to, you know, get orders together and they're walking around with the headset on, you know, the wireless headset, and they're running the drive-thru at the same time they're trying to get me my order. They're asking too much of these people.
Exactly.
But they're unwilling to cut into their profits and have somebody just camped out on the drive-thru.
But even where they do, Bob, they still don't get it right.
Well, and sometimes we have trouble hearing each other on the phone. Some of that has to do with the fact that, you know, you pull up to that microphone and it sounds like the teacher from the Charlie Brown cartoon.
Yeah. That ain't right, that ain't right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
I think there's a number of different ways to fix it, but maybe, you know, maybe there's some place in North Dakota that needs jobs. Although the logistical nightmare of making this thing work, I can't imagine. I guess you're just going to have a direct computer link between the McDonald's on, you know, whatever street in Seattle and the call center. And, you know, one guy in the call center.
It's nationwide.
Well, no, not yet.
No, I'm saying they're considering that.
Yeah.
They're testing it now. It's, you know.
Actually, like, the spokeswoman, Kyle, says that it's too early to say whether the outsourcing strategy would be implemented system-wide.
Right.
So right now they're testing to find out if it works.
Okay. I'd like, in closing here, to address a point that Wayne made.
Yeah.
And he said, why not let them just call themselves conservative Democrats?
Right.
I did that. And I was told there was no room for me.
Now, Kyle.
No.
There's no room for people who call themselves Democrats and then vote Republican. Those are Republicans.
That's called neocons. Right?
There's all kinds of words for it, but you know, if you're a Democrat, you're a Democrat, and you're welcome in the big tent. We're gonna, you know, we can have a debate about almost anything.
But I can't vote for one Republican.
George Bush? No. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you're a Democrat.
Oh, okay.
No.
Actually, you can't be a conservative Democrat.
You can be a conservative Democrat. You absolutely can be. The South is full of them. West Virginia is full of them. I know.
Look at the last election.
I'm talking about conservative Democrats who, you know, who are Democrats and therefore voted for John Kerry.
People who call themselves
conservatives and then vote conservative Democrats and then vote for Republicans, those aren't Democrats. Like Zell Miller's not a Democrat. Zell Miller's a crazy man, but that's probably a bad example. Hey, Kyle, I got one more call I want to get to, but I'm glad I heard from you tonight.
Okay, Bob.
Take care. Drive carefully on these rotten roads. Johnny. Hey, Johnny, you're head on.
Yo. It's madness, I tell you.
Ah, madness. Jethro.
What up?
I don't know it. That's what happens when you let an amateur answer the phone.
Oh, that's okay.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I just wanted to discuss the old Europe.
Yes.
Seems like that has turned around 180 degrees there.
Yeah, suddenly it has.
Suddenly they have become important again.
We like them even.
Yes. and we're dropping our mad dog stand and adopting the one that they want to go along with. How can that be?
Funny, I thought it was just us liberals that had all those situational ethics, Jethro.
Yeah. So, yeah, none of these conservatives want to admit this.
Well, no, I mean, they're not going to. But, you know, of course, what we're going to do is some of this smells like a run-up to declaring victory and leaving in Iraq, but that's only going to be the warm-up for Syria and Iran.
Well, I think along with Iran and hopefully Syria that the Europeans will also put a stop to that, because they basically, you know, put a stop to George Bush and his unilateral ideations and his, you know, empire building and on and on and on.
Well, his best, Jethro, his best friend in old Europe was Berlusconi. And Berlusconi, I get the idea Silvio Berlusconi wouldn't throw a warm bucket of spit on him right now if he was on fire over this Calipari business.
Exactly. And so yeah, they're reining him in now. And basically, he's going to be a lame duck because people aren't, they're not going to buy this Social Security. You know, he's already starting to change the language on trying to sell that to the people. You know, they're going to start this attack on AARP. But the fact of the matter remains that, you know, the people are not going to buy that, and he can forget it. I think he's, you know, like I said, a lame duck. He's pretty much finished.
And I think his party recognized that as well, Jethro, because I just got this emailed to me from our buddy Chris. He says that this is something he pulled off the Drudge Report, alleging an interview with between the Washington Times and kind of Sleazy Rice, and it says she pointedly declined to rule out running for president in 2008 on Friday during an hour-long interview, and that Rice gave her most detailed explanation of what she calls being mildly pro-choice. Again, the rubber mask is coming off. You know, abortion was only handy for an election cycle.
Yes, it'll never be addressed, and maybe these super Christian right wingers will wake up and see that they have been duped completely.
Oh, it's a royal con, and they're the only ones that don't see it yet.
I hear you.
Whether it's abortion or big rocks in schools or, I mean, you know, Ten Commandments, this is all a front and a cover for things like the bankruptcy law and for the Social Security reform. Well, you know, and everybody with a half a brain understands that this is to the benefit, you know, making the tax cuts permanent. It's to the benefit of our betters.
Sure. Well, you got, you know, your taxes, your insurance, your medical plans, you know, your health care, your education. The whole gamut is designed to tear down the common man, to make us nothing, and, you know, either no effect or to the advantage of the rich. I mean, we're heading towards a modern age fuel system here, I think.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt of it. And, you know, Gary and I were talking about that a little bit last night. A lot of these isms, you can get yourself all worked up about one or the other, but many of them have a certain commonality to them, whether it's fascism or capitalism as it is currently defined. You know, they have the commonality of just slaughtering and throwing into abject misery the poorest of the poor who can least afford it.
Yeah, big business backed by the government, and now we've got these bankruptcy laws. And this check writing deal, I mean, you know, these businesses, they're not going to let you get away with a cent. You're going to pay, and you're going to pay, and if you have to eat dog food,
so be it.
Fine, you're going to pay.
Well, if you have to eat dog food, you're going to feel doggone lucky to be doing it.
That'll be steak, huh?
Yeah, right. And the drunks can't buy a beer, and you can't get your tongue split. I got a story here. A phenomenon sweeping the nation regarding black people braiding their hair, and a crackdown on that.
We can't have that.
Well,
I could carry weapons and stuff in that.
I think it's so funny to hear conservatives talking about the nanny state when they're the ones doing most of the nannying.
Right. Yeah, and you know, we can let our railroads and everything else go unprotected from a terrorist threat. We're going to crack down on individuals.
Yeah, we're going to crack down on that hair braiding while we're giving pistol permits to terrorists. 47 out of 58 in the study. Yeah, Make that make sense, Jethro, because I damn well can't do it.
Madness.
It's madness. Hey, man, have a great weekend. We got to roll.
All right, Bob, later.
See ya. It's madness. Thanks, everybody, for participating. I certainly do appreciate it. Great to hear from Kimmel. Haven't heard from him in a while. Thanks to Kyle and Wayne and Jim and Cherie and Chris. Going to miss you guys over the next couple of days. God willing, I'll be back Monday. Got to go now. Got a cheesecake to bake. I'll share the recipe with you someday. You'll love it. The show tonight, of course, was produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, and announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. And remember, of course, Ben Birch archives the show at whiterosesociety.org. Go out there, have a look around. He's got a lot of other great stuff, too, and we appreciate all of his efforts. Hey, Agnes.